The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Sheila Walsh reminds us that our circumstances don't need to change for us to find peace.
I found the peace of Christ in a psychiatric ward. I found the peace of Christ in a bankruptcy court. I just want you to know there is nowhere that you can go, no place you find yourself in, where you cannot experience the peace of Christ. Hi, I'm Sheila Walsh. Welcome to Life Today. I'm so grateful that you've taken this time out to sit with me for a while. I've been asking myself some questions over the last 3 or 4 days. I read an article and they were basically describing the impact, a kind of longer-term impact of the whole COVID pandemic. And they were talking about the fact that people are struggling. And I have to be honest, when I thought about it, I thought, you know, I've been struggling myself these days. And what they said in the study, and I don't know, you know, how reliable the study is, but they said that 4 or 5% of the population are doing way, way better than before the pandemic began. 20% are in a really, really bad place. And the rest, they said, they used this word languishing. And I thought it was an interesting word. When I looked it up in Webster Dictionary, it means an absence of well-being even though you're not sick, or an inability to describe your feelings, or feeling as if there's nothing to look forward to. So I have made a new commitment to stay engaged daily, hourly if I need to, with what is true and what is eternal. I wrote down in my diary last night, do not forget we are an Easter people. And what I mean by that is that, you know, when we study the life of Christ and this amazing man who walked on this earth and healed people and cared for people and saw people who everybody else would miss, and then he was crucified, if that was the end of our story, we would remember him and think what an amazing person he was. But that is not the end of our story. Because Christ rose again from the dead, that changes everything. It means that no matter what you are going through right now, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what our nation and our world is going through, because of Jesus, everything has changed. You know, in John's gospel, he gives us some of Christ's last words to his closest friends. He said this, and you probably know this verse. You find it in John 14, I believe. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Part of Christ's final conversation with his closest friends. Now, he knows what they are hoping for. You know, all Jews were hoping that Messiah would come riding into Jerusalem and get rid of the Roman occupation and they would be liberated. But Jesus knows what's going to happen. And Jesus said to them and to us, he said, he gives us his peace. And here's the difference. For peace to work in the world, circumstances have to change. You know, there has to be some, if one nation's against another nation, there has to be like peace talks before there can be any change. But the thing that I want to remind you of is that we can know Christ's peace even if nothing changes. You know, the word that's used there in John 14 is a word, the Greek word is eirene, and it means this, and listen to this because I think it's brilliant, total well-being and security because God's presence is with his people. Just think about that. Total well-being and security, not because everything is going well in your life, but because God's presence is with his people. So, for you and I, peace is not the absence of trouble. It's the very present presence of Christ in every moment. When I was back home in London a few years ago, I was walking through the park and I saw a gentleman sitting by himself, and he just looked sad. And I had sandwiches and I had a soda that I got in the store, and I felt the Holy Spirit prompting me. So I went up and I said to him, "Hey, sir, do you mind if I join you?" And he said, "No, sure." So I sat down beside him and shared my sandwiches, and we just sat quietly for a little while, and then he began to tell me something about his life. And it was really shocking. He was a very well-respected doctor at one point in Harley Street in London, which you might not be familiar with that, but that's where kind of the top, the cream of the crop of doctor's specialties have their offices in Harley Street. And that's who he was. But he became a victim of alcoholism. And the more he drank, the greater impact it had on his life. And he told me that eventually he lost his license, he lost his wife, and he lost contact with his children. And I think the saddest thing he said to me that day as I got up to leave was, he said, "One day I was walking along the street and I caught my reflection in a store window. And my first thought was, oh my gosh, who is that man?" And he said, "I suddenly realized, it's me. This is what I have become." So let me ask you, have you ever had a moment like that? Now, not so dramatic, obviously, but do you ever look at where your life is and think, how did I get here? This was not the plan. But to that place, no matter how far gone you could feel, Jesus speaks peace. Well, you might be tempted to ask, how is such a thing possible? But let me just say this. Here's the truth. Christ would not have promised it if it was not possible. There's over 6,000 promises in the Bible, and they're all fulfilled in Christ. You know, one of the most amazing stories recounted in the New Testament illustrate that Christ has power over every storm in life. The storms that are like physical storms outside our life, and the storms that you and I might face that are inside of us. So let's set the scene in Mark chapter 4. Here's what we read. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence. Be still." And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and waves obey him." You know, it's interesting. I don't know if you've ever been to Israel, but the mountains that surround Galilee, violent storms often blow up like the storm. But this one was particularly violent. The waves were actually crashing over the side of the boat. I think it's fascinating that it's after Christ has spoken to the storm that we read that they were afraid and said, "Who is this man?" You know, that was a messianic thing that Christ did. It says in Psalm 89, verse 9, "You rule the raging of the sea when its waves rise. You still them." So they've just come through this horrible storm. They watched Christ do something they've never seen before. This suddenly, out of this violent storm, there's complete calm. Well, the disciples, they're still reeling from that when the boat touches the edge of the shore. And we're about to see that when Christ speaks to storms outside our lives and inside our lives, both have to obey. We're going to meet another man who's horrified by what he had become. This is what we read in Mark chapter 5. Jesus and his followers went to the other side of the lake, to the area of the Gerasene people. When Jesus got out of the boat, instantly a man with an evil spirit came to him from the burial caves. This man lived in the caves, and no one could tie him up, not even with a chain. Many times people had used chains to the man's hands and feet, but he always broke them off. No one was strong enough to control him. Day and night, he would wander around the burial caves and on the hills, screaming and cutting himself with stones. While Jesus was still far away, the man saw him, ran to him, and fell down before him. I don't know if you noticed that little phrase at the beginning of the text in Mark 5. Jesus said, "We'll go to the other side." That was terrifying to a Jew. The setting is the eastern shore of Galilee, the Gentile Decapolis, which is 10 pagan cities, a place of pagan cult worship and keeping pigs, an animal unclean to the Jews. And this man is living among the dead, which unclean by any Jewish law. Think about it. A man with an unclean spirit living among the unclean dead, surrounded by people in unclean territory. This was unimaginable for the disciples. But I think the description of this man, in fact, Bob Bennett once did a song. You should Google it. It's called Man of the Tombs. Oh, such a moving song. But the description of this man is one of the saddest, I think, in the Bible. Even in life, even while he's still breathing, he's living among the dead. The original Greek emphasizes his strength. I mean, it actually translates, "Not even by chains could anyone any longer restrain him." And he was treated like an animal. But then we read this, and when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. Now, why would he do that? This man has never heard of Jesus. Jesus has never been to this part of the countryside before. I think it's fascinating that the poor man did not know Jesus, but the demons that possessed him did. I'm pretty sure that for the first time in this man's life, when suddenly his eyes saw Jesus coming, the demons inside of him went, "Ah!" and pulled back because they recognized the Son of God. The word used for fell down isn't the word used for just to fall over something. It's actually the word that's used to fall in worship. And I love this. When the demonic meets the divine, there is no contest. Remember what they said? "My name is Legion," this is the demon speaking, "for we are many." A Roman legion is about 5,600 soldiers. So they begged Jesus not to send them out of the region because the Decapolis was an area dominated by forces of darkness, hostile to Christ. They knew their time was limited and they wanted to destroy as many people as they could. So think about that scene. It doesn't say that the disciples ever got out of the boat. Not sure I blame them. There's chaos everywhere, apart from one place. They came to Jesus and saw the man who used to have the many evil spirits sitting, clothed, and in his right mind, and they were frightened. Beautiful. Clothed and in his right mind. Only God. It seems like the powers of darkness were hell-bent on keeping Jesus from this poor man, but the storm didn't stop Christ then, and it won't stop him now. I was praying for you today before I came to the studio and just asking the Lord, you know, and let me ask you, where are the storms in your life? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. That word there, troubled, it's like a word you would use for a perfect storm. You might find yourself in a place right now where it feels like the perfect storm. Maybe there's trouble in your family. Maybe there's trouble in your marriage. Perhaps you're worried about your children. Maybe you have a child who's gone off and they're unrecognizable to you now. So often we think, well, I understand that I could have peace when something's resolved. But the thing that Christ promises us is that we can know peace right now. No matter what you are facing right at this moment, you can have peace. I've known that in my own life. I found the peace of Christ in a psychiatric ward. I found the peace of Christ in a bankruptcy court. I just want you to know there is nowhere that you can go, no place you find yourself in, where you cannot experience the peace of Christ. And where is it found? Always found at the feet of Jesus. You know, some days, probably like you, I find myself able to pray great prayers, and other days, I feel like I'm languishing sometimes. But I have to tell you, honestly, when I find myself in a place where I'm not quite sure what to do, you know, I'll get down on my knees and raise my arms, and I'll experience the peace of Christ. See, he didn't say he would get us out of everything, but he did say that he would be with us in whatever we are going through. I just want you to know, you have a family here at Life. You see a few of us in front of the camera. There's a whole family of amazing people who pray for you, who ask God to bless you. And as we ask God to bless you, we ask you if you would help us. When I was thinking about the powerful image of kneeling at the feet of Jesus, it made me think about one of my favorite missions that we have here at Life Outreach, and that's Christmas shoes and smiles. The joy of being able to put a pair of shoes just like this onto a child who's never known what it's like to be protected that way. But not only that, one of my favorite things in the world is when my son smiles. He can make me laugh like nobody else on the planet. But can you imagine what it's like if you give birth to your little one and there's cleft lip, cleft palate, and they can't smile, and they can't eat normally, and they can't lay down to sleep? It's really a terrible thing. And that's why, as a family here at Life, we are committed to making a difference. Now, I know it's a little early to talk about Christmas, but we do that now so that we're able to get everything in place, you know, so it becomes the greatest Christmas some of these children have ever experienced. So let me take you on a trip with me, and let's see the difference that's made when we're able to restore a smile on the face of a child. Watch this.
Every year in developing countries around the world, more than 170,000 children are born with a cleft lip or cleft palate. Without surgical repair, a cleft lip or palate could be deadly for a child.
As a child grows with the cleft palate, they will not be able to breastfeed, and that can cause real problems for nutrition, and it can also cause them to have more commonly have chest infections, and that can even lead to death.
Beyond just the physical dangers, a cleft lip or palate can cause lasting emotional and psychological damage to a child.
Then as they start to talk, they will not be able to be understood. The cleft palate makes their speech very, very difficult to understand. And so combining the appearance and also the speech will have a huge impact on how that child feels about themselves as they grow up.
Fortunately, a cleft lip or cleft palate can be repaired fairly easily with corrective surgery. But a child living in poverty has very little hope and even fewer options for this type of surgery. That's why Life Outreach and its partners have already provided more than 2,000 life-changing surgeries at no cost to the families. And this year, we will continue to do as many surgical cleft repairs as possible around the world.
Thanks to partners like Life Outreach International, we're able to make lasting changes in children's lives through corrective surgery. Just to give an example from the clinic this week, I saw several children that we've operated on their lips and their palates, very young, and the children are healthy, they look normal, and I know that they will now be able to speak normally as well. But there's so much more work to be done, literally thousands of families waiting for help, but we can only do it with your continuing support. God bless you.
So, let's do this. What a great opportunity to be able to restore a smile to a child. We have just amazing, amazing doctors like the one you just saw on the ground. And do you know that we can do, for $500, we can do a corrective surgery. If you were able to give $1,000, perhaps God has blessed your business this year, or you've been putting something away for something and just waiting for the Lord to place on your heart what it should be, wouldn't that be an amazing Christmas gift? Now, this is our last week of Christmas Shoes and Smiles, and we have made a pledge to get 150,000 pairs of shoes to children around the world in all the countries we work in. They look pretty simple, and we're able to do them for $3.60, which means that if you could commit $36, we can send 10 pairs of shoes to children. And it's not just a case of it's nice to have shoes. It literally can save their lives, because when their feet are bare and they're running around and they're in this water that's contaminated, they can get hookworm, they can get all sorts of diseases that can be life-threatening. So I'm just excited at the thought of our whole family gathering together this year and saying, let's not make Christmas about what we can get. Let's make it about acknowledging the greatest gift that has ever been given. And that's when Christ left his glorious place to be born with a shoe size for you and for me. So I'm inviting you to join with us. As I said, this is our last week. $72, 20 pairs of shoes. So $180, 50 pairs of shoes. Now, if you're able to do $1,000, that's 275 pairs of shoes or two corrective surgeries. For any gift at all, we'll send you this. This is our Christmas shoe this year, this little red crystal shoe. For $100 or more, we have this beautiful ornament box of shoes. What I love about this is that, you know, you put them on your Christmas tree, and when you see them, it gives us an opportunity to not just send a gift, but to pray for the child who received that gift. There are so many mums in the world who are heartbroken at the moment, because the first time they get to see their precious little one, they see that there's something really wrong that will not only impact their health, but how they're received by other people. You know what it's like? You want your children to be able to play with other friends and feel like they fit in. But when a child is born like that, it's so, so difficult. And that's why it's a joy to let you know we can change that. So last week, will you please, if you've been thinking of calling and just haven't got around to, please call right now. Give the very best gift you can. So let's put smiles on a lot of faces and shoes on a lot of little feet.
Poverty is a killer. And because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences and even death. By responding today, you will help secure and make ready 150,000 pairs of Christmas shoes to be shipped and delivered to children around the world just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pairs. And a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request this beautifully crafted red crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display at each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this keepsake boxed set featuring four of Life's crystal Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes, or two children with corrective cleft lip or palate surgeries, and you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I got to tell you what a happy day this is for me. You know, I'm here with 20 kids who've all received shoes today because someone like you was generous enough to say, I'll give $72, or maybe two of you gave $36. And that gift of $36 meant that 10, or $72 meant that 20 children got shoes here today. Please, do it today. Get online or dial that number on your screen and give. Give a gift, an extra special, above normal gift. That is the gift of shoes, the gift of joy. What that would mean is you would extend this line just that much further. You would extend the expression of God's heart and His hands to these children, and you would extend the joy in villages just like this by giving these children the precious gift of a pair of shoes.
Thank you for staying with me. And if you try to get through and the lines are busy, please keep calling. If you're able to give a gift of $1,000 or more, we have this beautiful bronze that we'd love to send to you that says, Let the Children Come. It's a beautiful piece, and it's simply our way of saying thank you. But if you can do whatever you can do as a family, and let's make it a family project, let's make it a Sunday school project, a women's Bible study project, let's make an impact in the world this year because of the way that Christ, in His grace, has invited us to fall at His feet and receive the peace that comes only from Him. So for all of us here at Life, I'm Sheila Walsh. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Are you concerned about your family being ill-equipped to manage resources when you pass away? Do you want to leave a legacy gift that impacts the lives of others? As a free service to our friends and partners, Life Planning Services, a ministry of Life Outreach International, is here to help with your estate planning needs and chart your financial future. Do not put off this important step to protect your loved ones and leave a lasting legacy. Contact Life Planning Services today.
We as Christians, ladies and gentlemen, can be silent no longer.
Dr. Robert Jeffress brings straight talk from the Savior about the things that matter most. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.